The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Have you, as a believer in God, ever wanted to go in the wrong direction? Like 180 degrees in the wrong direction? Well, that's what our friend Jonah did, and we'll be thinking about that today as we continue our study in Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet. We are so glad that you're with us today, and we invite you to our website, faithalone.org. There you will find a lot of free resources and some products that we have for sale, as well as some of our events which will be coming up shortly. Now here is Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro as they continue in our study of Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet, Part 2.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. I'm here again with David. Hey, David.
How's it going?
Hey, all right. And we're in Jonah, and we're starting in the first three verses of chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, you might want to pull it out. The first three verses say, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." What on earth is going on here?
This is Jonah's great escape.
There was a movie called The Great Escape.
That's right.
Right? And this is Jonah's great escape?
Yeah. Let me give you an outline of the book of Jonah. It's very complicated. Chapters 1 and 2 is disobedient Jonah. And then chapters 3 and 4 is the obedient Jonah. He goes from DJ to OJ.
But he's a bad DJ and a good OJ.
He is weird.
However, even in the OJ part, the obedient Jonah, he's got some attitude issues.
He has some issues, yes. Yeah. There are some mental issues that he desperately needs counseling for.
And the Lord's going to provide it.
And he does provide it, which we will get to
along
later on.
Along with the plant.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's going on with this Jonah who's fleeing and he's going in the wrong direction? And
first of all, I love what the name Jonah means.
What does it mean?
It means dove.
Dove.
Yeah. And what he's doing now is he's flying west instead of going east like the Lord told him to. Jonah is from the northern kingdom, you know, around the capital of Samaria, which is the capital of the northern kingdom. He just says, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." Now, later on in the book, we're going to see that when it talks about the great city, he's really mainly talking about the population of the city, which is well over 100,000 people.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, you talk about him being from Samaria. You know, Samaria was pretty much the accursed portion of Israel by this point. They were very disobedient, very far away from the Lord, and yet God still is giving them prophets.
Exactly.
I mean, God doesn't abandon them. Doesn't this show a lot of grace on God's part?
That was the word that came to me, is the word grace. They don't deserve more prophets to warn them about what's going on. They've had many already, and they essentially ignored them. But the Lord kept going. To me, that's an expression of the Lord's love for his covenant people.
Yes.
That he wants them to choose to worship him rather than these other gods.
Yeah, it's what? Loyal love? Is that what the basic term
is? Do you want to know the Hebrew word?
Give me the Hebrew. Spit it out.
It's chesed. You kind of have to go. Yeah, it's a very important word.
Chesed.
And a lot of people translate it, a lot of scholars translate it, loyal love. And it's God's loyalty to his covenant, that he loves his covenant people so much that he will continue to strive to help them.
And there's also a lot of love here in that not only does he have him in the northern kingdom, but now he's sending him here and he's doing exactly the wrong thing. And yet, as we're going to see, God doesn't strike him dead, which would have been seemingly just.
It would be just, but because of the Lord's grace, he did not do that. I think what's interesting here, too, is of all things, Jonah is sent to Gentiles.
Yeah.
I mean, that is rare. The Lord does that on occasion, but the Lord loved the Gentiles as well, and he did not want to see evil come upon them, especially this city of Nineveh, which was important in God's program.
Right.
So he sends Jonah, God's foreign missionary, if you will, to Nineveh, and It's amazing that what, and by the way, notice in verse 2, it says, their wickedness has come up before me. There is no specific sin going on here, like you see in the other prophets. Oh, you're doing this, and you're doing these horrible things, and that's why you're getting judged. He doesn't say that. He just says, their wickedness, the wickedness of the Ninevites, has come up before me, meaning I'm ready to act.
David, what about, he goes to this city called Tarshish. Where is Tarshish?
Good question, because scholars disagree as to where it is. It could be anywhere from an island somewhere in the Mediterranean all the way. There was a place that sounds like the word Tarshish, believe it or not, in what is now Spain.
I've often heard it was part of Spain.
And I'm kind of going that way because knowing Jonah's personality, he wants to get as far away. He has a low view of the Lord because he thinks he can escape God's presence. So it's like, I'm going to go the furthest west I possibly can do. And for him, the east coast of Spain would do that.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned about getting far away from the Lord as he can, which is kind of a silly idea. But notice it says that twice here. He flees to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then the end of verse 3 is the same language, from the presence of the Lord.
That is the key aspect of this. That's what he thinks he's doing. I'm getting away from there. If I'm in Tarshish, if I'm in Spain, that means the Lord's got to pick somebody else to go to Nineveh.
Wrong.
Yeah, like I'm fond of saying, thank you for playing. We have a lovely parting gift. But see, that's where Jonah's theology is all messed up. He thinks he can get out of this by going as far away from Nineveh as he can possibly get. And this is another thing that I find interesting. He goes down to Joppa, which is on the coast of Israel, finds a group, and probably the crew of the ship that he's on is probably a bunch of Phoenicians, because the Israelites were not a lot of sailors.
Right.
I'm sure there were some, but the Phoenicians were phenomenal sailors. And so he goes down to Joppa, finds a ship going to this Tarshish place, wherever that is. He pays the fare, goes down into it, and thinks he's a happy camper now.
Okay, but let's look and see what we're told happens here, because verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Sounds like what happened during the ministry of Jesus on multiple occasions.
Exactly.
And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up.
Right.
And then it says, then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. So it sure sounds like these were, you know, idolaters, polytheists, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. So they're very afraid. I mean, they've just lost their revenue.
Keep in mind, these are experienced sailors that have seen these kinds of things before, and they think they've probably been through it. The only way to save themselves, unload the cargo, lighten the ship, and therefore, when the waves come over the top, it doesn't sink them with the cargo.
So this is a historically bad storm. I mean, they've never seen anything probably like this.
This is correct.
But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. This almost sounds like a type of Christ, because we have Jesus in the boat and he's asleep while this great storm comes upon. They wake him up. Lord, save us. We're perishing.
Exactly.
Right. So do you think he's the type of Christ here?
Kind of. I wouldn't take that too far.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little story here that I heard. I was traveling for my job one time, and I was kind of floating around the radio dial in this city, and I come upon a Christian radio station, and who was speaking on this radio station when I came across it? Howard Hendricks.
Really?
One of our profs at DTS. And guess what he was talking about?
Was he talking about Jonah?
Jonah. And he had an observation. This little story happened probably over 30 years ago, and I haven't forgotten what Howard Hendricks said about this. And I think it's a lesson for all of us.
What's that?
He said, notice how Jonah is, he's fast asleep, meaning, I mean, if he was really upset about stuff, don't you think he would be up, you know, like, I'm running away from the Lord, I'm kind of upset and stressed out, and he's sound asleep. And Hendricks says this, it is entirely possible to be completely comfortable and be completely out of the will of God at the same time. That's an incredible insight. Jonah was so out there spiritually, he was able to completely go to sleep while escaping the will of God.
However, let's take the other part of that. And I imagine that Prof. Hendricks went here too. He was comfortable for a time, just like the prodigal son was comfortable for a time.
Right.
But then the bad stuff came, and that happens pretty quickly for Jonah.
Yes, it does.
He's about to be floating, but he doesn't have a life preserver.
No, no.
And he's probably not on the Israeli swim team either.
I don't think he's an athlete.
No.
Something tells me he's not an athlete. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting insight that Prof. Hendricks said. It's something that has not left my mind for over 30 years.
So the fact that someone's comfortable doesn't at all mean they're necessarily in the will of God.
But see, we do that. We think that since we're kind of stress-free and things are going pretty good, I'm in God's will. Maybe not.
A lot of people think money is a sign of God's blessing.
Right.
It's not necessarily.
No. And also, to reverse that, some people think that if you're going through a really hard, stressful time and you're doing something, that's the Lord telling you not to do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
And frankly, what Jonah goes through is not comfortable at all, but it's God's will.
It is God's will, yeah. Well, notice, and we'll end today on verse 6. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish." This is a lot like the disciples saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." Here, they're saying, now little do they know, this is a prophet of the only true God.
That's right, yeah. But they're coming from it from a pagan point of view. They tried with their gods, and their gods didn't answer. So, well, hey, Jonah, why don't you approach your God and see if he's the one that's mad at us?
They probably already prayed to Dog, right? Yeah. This Dagon.
Yeah. But I love the Hebrew here. When the captain goes and says, "What do you mean, sleeper?" we would have said, "Sleepyhead. What are you doing, sleepyhead? You're sleeping and we're all about to die."
I would have called him a nincompoop.
Well, he falls clearly into that category. But anyway, it's interesting that he is sound asleep when all of this chaos is going around him.
Well, he's not sleeping for long.
No.
So in the next episode, we'll look at the second part of Jonah chapter 1. Thanks, David, and thank you all, and keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, we will look at Jonah 1, 11 through 16 and see God's sovereignty in play, among other things. Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.